The Geek Cave, brought to you by BuzzTime. Great minds drink alike. Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. And GameStop, power to the players. Hey, nerds. We understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, O searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of the Geek Cave Podcast. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad.
And this is the comic book segment. And just for reference to everybody who's listening, Margot Kidder thinks I'm a handsome man. Not Darren, not Chad. Me, baby.
Yeah, this is all spilling out of the Superman Festival in Metropolis, Illinois. I informed her that she's Justin's favorite Lois. She informed me that Justin is, quote, a handsome man.
Damn Skippy.
So, there you go.
Lois Lane thinks I'm cute. Fuck you, Clark. Wow. Yes, I know I used my one, probably a bit prematurely, since I'm not entirely sure what we're talking about. And I may or may not get mad later.
Man, and I was going to bring up racism, sexism, classism. I was going to bring up a whole bunch of stuff today.
Who was going to bring up that storyline where it was revealed that Aunt May is Peter Parker's mom?
Hey, I called that one, I think.
I think you did, yeah.
I think I did, yeah.
By the way, the book is Trouble by Marvel Comics. Don't read it.
Don't be like Darren.
Don't be like Darren. Poor Darren.
It's probably a pretty good rule of thumb anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're a successful man.
With a plan.
I mean, he's not as handsome as me, according to, you know, celebrity Margot Kidder, but... It is what it is.
Touche.
All right.
So, comics. Darren, what do you got?
Well, speaking of Marvel and bad ideas, they've decided that the best idea that they can come up with is to New 52 it, essentially. They saw that DC Universe Rebirth is doing well, and so they're like, hey, we're going to bring all the legacy back to our storylines, which means that Sam Wilson is going to be the Falcon again, and somehow we're going to unruin Captain America, and we're bringing back half of the Fantastic Four. So there's that.
The good half or the bad half?
Thing and the Torch.
So the good half.
Yeah.
So the Tremendous Two.
But it's great because I don't know if they even realize they're doing it, that they're emulating DC. Because they announced 52 variant covers.
Oh my god.
You heard that right. 52. If only that number had some kind of meaning.
Well, it's not the answer to life, the universe, and everything. That's 42.
42, yeah.
The number of weeks in a year.
It's bringing back a whole bunch of characters that died, including Wolverine, although he's been kind of brought back before, but F it, we'll do it right this time, I guess. It's bringing back Bruce Banner's Incredible Hulk. They say that it's going to have... There's going to be a third Thor now. Another one, because we don't have enough running around. It's hard to get excited for. It really is. It just kind of, it's confusing in their marketing.
Well, there's Thor.
Yeah.
That would be the female Thor, because if I recall, she is Thor at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. She is.
So there's Thor. There's blonde headed McPonytail Thor.
Yeah. Odinson.
That's
is what
dude.
He's called now.
Yeah. Odinson. Yeah. And then there's Throg, you know, the frog Thor. That would be my guess for the third one.
No, this one's like another humanoid. He's got like a long red-headed beard. So, I'm not sure. They've just been showing him off in promotional art.
His name
a long red-headed beard to me implies that his beard is made up of redheads.
or that he's secretly...
He has a very lanky ginger stuck to his chin. That's what that means to me. I am Thor.
I'm Ted.
Long red-haired beard. Oh, my God. Okay, DC is...
I am Ted Beardson.
Ted Beardson, yes.
DC's launching a big mega crossover called Dark Knight's Metal. And the first issue has the Justice League...
Darkness.
The first issue has the Justice League arranged in the shape of the rock-on gesture.
Throw the horns!
Yeah, someone drew, like, trace around it. And the whole point is, apparently, stop me if you've heard this one before, Batman is keeping a secret from everyone. And it could end up causing more harm than good.
Look out!
And there's something about the dark multiverse, and it somehow ties in with everything, and it's just... I'm so fatigued. I'm so tired. But it's got the same team behind Batman's New 52 run, which was a really good team, so it looks like it could be good, but I just... I can't. When it comes to that.
How come Booster Gold never gets a secret that could, like, destroy the league?
Because it's Booster friggin' Gold. And finally, this is out of Image Comics. Have you guys heard of the Divided States of Hysteria?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's basically a comic that kind of focuses on, you know, some of the not-so-pleasant things about our society right now, especially when it comes to racial injustice, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's been focusing pretty heavily on some of the persecution that Muslims and people from the Middle East face in the U.S. Well, now there's a bit of controversy. This issue doesn't even come out for another couple of months, but the cover is making the rounds to issue number 4.
Is this the one, the hijab with the American flag?
No, that was the first issue, but that's the same book. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, issue 4 features, and this is by artist... Howard Chaykin. It features right there on the cover a Pakistani man hanging by a noose with his genitalia exposed and mutilated.
Huh.
Some people are saying, you know, I think maybe that's a little much. Maybe. He's defending the work. He says, well, you know, it's artistic interpretations and, you know, I'm showing things that are real. I think it just comes across as gross. But that's just me. So that's a thing that is going on right now in the world of Image Comics. Take that or leave it.
I hope he's allowed to go with it.
Yeah.
And
I know that.
For the same reason that we talked last month, you know, about the Alamo Drafthouse stuff. If you don't like it, don't buy it.
Yeah. Don't
support it and let capitalism work.
Well, unfortunately.
Exactly.
I don't know about if unfortunately is the word, but as far as in this case, he is getting a lot of pressure from, you know, the Pakistani community.
Sure.
Getting a lot of pressure from fellow creators who say that you should take this down. There are a few people defending him, but when they start defending him, they're immediately made to look like monsters because that is the culture we have now, apparently. So... I don't know. It's controversial. It's something that's going on. The September issue is still geared to be taking place, you know, in September. It looks like they haven't changed the cover as of yet. So that's all I've got for comics.
Okay. Chad, you got anything?
Yes. So.
I sometimes
contribute.
Yeah,
that's true. Sometimes you do contribute, and you've been doing very well. Gold star for Chad.
So, in 2015, DC released a limited run KFC Colonel Sanders comic called Colonel of Two Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
I've read it.
In 2016, DC released a limited run KFC Colonel Sanders comic called Colonel Core. In 2017, DC is going to release a third KFC Colonel Sanders comic, Green Lantern, Colonel Sanders.
I saw the cover of that, yes.
So the first two are available for free online download at Comixology, DC Comics download, so on and so forth. But it's just to whet your appetite for that third installment coming soon. You know, first, they introduced Colonel Sanders to the DC universe. Then, they introduced him to the multiverse. What will they do next? Oof. I don't know, but it better be served with 11 secret spices.
Well, you know how sometimes you lick your finger to turn the page?
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean this is literally finger licking good?
Oh, it might very well be.
Yeah.
Mm. We can hope.
This goes right along with the KFC Colonel Sanders novella, Tender Wings of Desire.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with this?
I've seen...
Yeah, Darren, are you familiar with this? Because this seems right up your alley.
By my reaction, the answer would be no.
It's like a Harlequin romance novel.
Of course it is.
And of course it is.
It might still be available for free download on Amazon. I don't know. They may have pulled it. But it's called Tender Wings of Desire. And the cover depicts not a shirtless Colonel Sanders, but a sleeveless Colonel Sanders. Dude's ripped. I just got to tell you,
Yeah.
Well, you know, you build up some musculature ripping the heads off chickens.
Yeah. WWE's been doing some ad promotions with them where they've had one of their wrestlers actually dress up as Colonel Sanders. Dolph Ziggler, yeah. If you're listening, hi. So I'm not surprised.
He's cradling a woman who is looking, I don't know, at him intently or at the drumstick in her hand intently. They're on a beach. There's a castle behind them. It's amazing.
Oh my God! There's art. We're looking.
There's
art. She's looking at the
drum
state. She's totally looking at the drum state.
Yeah,
that is beautiful.
That is beautiful. Yeah. This seems right up your alley, Darren. I think you should review it if you can find it. You should review it, Chad. What do you think?
Well, you know, everyone's a geek for something.
Yeah, I mean, it involves chicken.
It does involve chicken.
As we all know, Darren loves chicken.
Kind of guy.
I'm not going to say Darren loves chicken, but I know he enjoys eating chicken.
There's a 1987 fantasy mystery movie also called Wings of Desire, so I got to be careful. Oh, it got a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, though.
Wow.
So it's certified
fresh.
Well,
now you have to. Now you have to. Our viewers demand that you give this a review, Darren.
I'm looking for the book now. The funny thing is, when you type in Winds of Desire, you actually have to specify KFC.
Yeah.
This is a 96-page novel.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a novella. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Hey, you know what that means? You can do it on the crapper.
Yep.
You just have it on your phone there. And
depending on how KFC treats your body, you might already be there.
Weeks worth of BMs, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Just get the family-sized bucket of chicken, chow down, and when you're ready to...
Evacuate,
grab your phone, and start reading. Well, it's better than the back of the shampoo bottle.
It's true. Right, although I did see a shampoo bottle that had, like, in fine print at the bottom, you're only reading this because you forgot your phone.
I love companies that do crap like that.
All right, well, while try to find this, go ahead. I'm having difficulty finding it on Amazon, so I'll have to see where else it is.
Oh, that I'm was sure. all the news
it's
I had.
It's
just
out there somewhere.
I figured the KFC comic was sufficient.
Was sufficient enough. Thank you, Chad, for bringing that into our lives.
You're very welcome. Hey, and it got Darren a new book to read.
Hey, see? Yeah.
You know, he finishes Shogun, then he can, palate cleanse.
This could be the intermission halfway through Shogun, Tender Wings of Desire.
Second half of Shogun.
When Lady Madeline Parker runs away from Parker Manor and a loveless betrothal, she finally feels she is in control of her life. But what happens when she realizes she can't control how she feels? She finds herself swept into the arms of Harland, a handsome sailor with a mysterious past, and realizes she must choose between a life of order and a man of passion. What happens in the embrace of destiny on the tender wings of desire?
Yeah. Right,
I'm down.
Yeah, you're totally reading that, dude.
Oh, Amazon pulled it.
Oh,
don't
worry.
I'm sure
I'll find it on the dark web or something. It's fine.
Yeah, it's there. It's got to be there. All right. Well, if there's no more news, then I guess we're going to the long box.
Yay.
This month's long box is on Vulture with Spider-Man Homecoming coming up. I figure this is kind of one of the lesser known villains in terms of he's never been done cinematically. He's appeared on a few cartoons here and there. He's one of those rare ones that you're like, who?
That's a thing?
That's a thing? Yeah. So I thought I'd give him some attention this month and kind of educate the people who are going to go in to see the movie.
Educate yourselves!
Okay, I'm going to give you a heads up as to what you might expect.
Okay.
Although, since he's being portrayed by Michael Keaton, all bets are really off.
You want to get nuts?
Come on, let's get nuts.
Let's get nuts. There have actually been, in the comic books, like 4 or 5 different people portraying Vulture. All right. We're going to focus on the main one, Adrian Toomes, T-O-O-M-E-S. In my head, it's Toomies. But that makes him sound cuddly, and he's not.
Toomie, Toomie, Toomie.
Mr. Toomies! So, the original Vulture, Adrian Toomies... Yes. Give it to me. Now. Adrian Toomes. Thank you. Adrian Toomes was created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko and his first appearance was in Amazing Spider-Man number 2.
Yep. He's an OG.
1963. Yep. He was born in Staten Island, New York. He likes long walks on the beach.
Corporate espionage, you know.
Yeah. He's a former electronics engineer who once was a business partner with a guy named Gregory Beastman. No, Bestman, I'm sorry. I'm kidding. I'm throwing He-Man in there, not Beastman, Bestman.
That's a whole different guy.
I like it.
That's a whole
I like it
guy
better
together.
This way. I'm picturing Beastman in like a business suit.
Yeah, that actually is Beastman's first name, Greg. Greg Beastman.
Canon,
yeah.
It's a thing now.
They were in business together. Bestman handled the finances, and Toomey handled the inventions. After creating the flight harness, you know, the wings, he was eager to show it off. When he went into Bestman's office, he wasn't there, and that's when he discovered that Bestman had been secretly embezzling funds, and Toomes had no resource, meaning he lost his
job.
Damn
it, Greg.
Yeah. So he kind of lost his temper and started wrecking things, realizing that the suit he was wearing, the harness and what, gave him super strength. What a fantastic side effect that no one could have seen coming.
What a crazy random happenstance.
Happenstance, yeah. Then he decided to turn to a life of crime as the Vulture.
As one does.
That's the way it happens.
Because, yeah. Because, you know, when I think Vulture, I think somebody wearing a green unitard with green wings and a bald head.
That's actually pretty accurate in my experience.
Looks like a vulture to me. I mean,
yeah. I mean, not so much the green aspect, but yeah. The harness allows him to fly, and he can direct a pair of wings worn on his arms. It also endows him with enhanced strength and increased lifespan because he's pretty advanced in age. At one point, his youth is also restored through biometrical means, but that wore off. He keeps getting younger and older and younger and older as time goes on. Don't know why.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Plot. At one point, he actually took Spider-Man's youth, leaving him young and Spider-Man old. But that wore off, you know, within the same issue. Because why
and
not?
And same episode of the animated series.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That 90s series was so good, yo.
If you say so.
It's also fun to note that during his first encounter with the Vulture is when Spider-Man realized he could sell photos of himself to J. Jonah Jameson in the Bugle. Although he got his ass kicked in the first encounter because he was preoccupied with the camera.
Spider-Menace loses battle with Green Vulture.
I don't think that's accurate, sir. Print it.
Wait, if you're going to hit me, hit my good side. Peter, being the genius that he is, figured out a way to nullify Vulture's flying suit because, you know, of course he can look at it one time and go, oh, yeah, it runs on magnets. I've got an anti-magnetic nullifier right here in my web backpack that I'm going to use.
Sounds very Batman-esque.
Yeah. My wife checked out a book from the library about Spider-Man, and Vulture was the, the villain. And that's exactly what happened. Although he didn't go home and invent it. He had it with him already.
Sure.
First time they'd ever met. Hey, I think this guy runs on magnets. Look what I have.
Spider Boy Scout.
Yeah, it's like a 4-page book, I think.
Pages 1 and 4 are about the author.
Yeah. No, page 4 is about the author. Page 1 is about copyright.
We digress.
Yeah. He was also part of Dr. Octopus's Sinister Six. And he was the last foe to battle Spider-Man before moving on to Dr. Octopus. Of course, Spider-Man beat him because, you know, you got to keep this shit moving.
Yeah, he's like the mini-boss right before the final boss.
Hmm.
Yeah. During one of his stays in prison, he injured himself and believed himself to be dying, so he told his cellmate, Blackie Drago...
That's a great name for a cellmate.
I know, Darren's just put face-palming himself right now. I'm just like, really? Yeah, really. About the existence of a secondary suit, at which point Blackie reveals, yeah, I set up that injury. Yeah, I did it on purpose. Later, sucker. And takes a stint as the Vulture. Toombs recovers, escapes, defeats him, reclaims the mantle. The mantle of the Vulture.
Bird fight,
yeah. Why are young Birdman and old Birdman fighting? Reasons.
Birdman! I love that the guy who played Birdman in that movie
is now Vulture.
It's a nice roundabout thing.
Yeah. I keep wanting to see that movie, but I don't think it has anything to do with the classic cartoon or Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law. So I'm like, eh.
No, if anything, it's about how... playing a costume character can just be like a weight around your neck, almost like what Adam West went through as Batman.
Mm-hmm.
But he later embraced it.
Yeah.
So good on you, Mr. West. We miss you. During one of his many periods of ill health, because like I said, dude's old.
Really old guy, yeah.
Really, really old guy with bad temper. He befriends a guy named Nathan Lebinski, who happens to be, at the time, May Parker's new love interest. Aunt May getting it on.
See, she's been making mistakes ever since Trouble.
I love this bit. Unaware of who Toombs really was, he encourages him...
to date Aunt May.
To take chances with life and not let his handicaps drag him down. So, because of this, Toombs reclaims his persona as the Vulture and attempts to take over the rehab clinic that he's at.
Balls out,
of all
out.
The things. Yeah. I mean, really, of all things. Yeah, I'm not going to let this stop me. I'm taking over this place. Yeah. It's a rehab clinic, sir. You're free to go anytime. Screw you! We don't carry money here, sir. Everybody's paid through, like, automatic withdrawals or whatever. I don't care!
He's like a real bird. He just, like, takes a crap on anything stationary, you know?
Pretty much, yeah. So Spider-Man shows up, leading Toombs to almost kill Nathan... The shock of almost taking the man's life who helped save his own distracted Toombs enough to let him be captured. So, you know, he's not a great villain at times.
No.
But really good
blow. Yeah. But irony would serve him a cruel blow during another conflict with Spider-Man because reasons. The Vulture sought out a hostage to use a hostage as a shield, and he, because reasons, selected May Parker. Why not? She was in the crowd. I should backtrack and mention that Nathan, his friend, was a paraplegic, so he's in a wheelchair. He didn't see Nathan there when he grabbed May.
Oh, God.
Nathan defiantly leapt from his wheelchair and grabbed Toombs. He didn't recognize him because he's got, you know, he's flying around. Some guy dangling from his legs.
Whee!
Yeah. Yeah, so Toombs is flying through the air, trying to get the man off. Nathan looks down, realizes how high they are, triggers a fatal heart attack. And thus, Aunt May's second love life ends.
She can pick him. She later picked Dr. Octopus in what is clearly the stupidest idea.
But he can touch all the right places.
Yeah, Peter.
At once.
Yeah, Peter knows because unfortunately, when they did the whole mind swap, Peter got that memory.
Nice.
It's like Marvel actively hates him.
Yeah, he's like their poster boy, and yet, yeah. So he was successfully caught by Spider-Man, but Nathan would die in May's arms. How sweet.
Bleh.
Yeah. Later, he was diagnosed with cancer after frequent exposure to his flying harness. It's like Lex Luthor's kryptonite ring. I have this. It gives me power. Oh, crap. It's killing me. And I don't know, but in an attempt to be forgiven for his previous sins, he began terrorizing the Parker household, pleading with May to forgive him for indirectly causing Nate's death.
He just starts.
I'm like, if you're looking for forgiveness, dude. Terrorizing isn't the way to go.
Around her head and screeching in her ear whenever she's trying to take a nap, you know?
Forgive me!
Moonlight sits down. I just need to get some sewing done.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh. So Peter comes out and attacks him.
Okay.
The vulture captures... What?
Sorry. I wasn't listening.
You whispered it. You got to say it out loud now.
I wasn't listening, and so all I heard you say was, Peter comes out.
And so Chad and leans like, over and is like, Peter's gay?
I mean, who knows? It's just such a different direction for the series, what with Gwen and
Well, no, if you ask Mary Tumblr, Jane. If you ask Tumblr, yeah, he's...
Well, who dresses up in skin-tight anything Peter. Anymore?
Hey, Peter can be bi. There's nothing wrong with that.
Good with that.
Okay. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
I guess you do come out as bi as well, don't you?
I suppose. Is that like kind of like...
Well, maybe you don't, but people who do...
Would do that, I presume. We're getting in the weeds.
The weedy weeds.
Yes, the weedy weeds of weeds. So Peter comes out to attack Toombs because he's terrorizing his aunt/mother.
Don't read trouble.
And he captures Peter and takes him away to his hideout. Peter escapes, switches to Spider-Man mode, and beats the ever-loving crap out of him. You know, pent-up rage and whatnot.
Beating up a senior citizen. It's totally cool if you're Spider-Man.
Well, the dude can take blows and punch back just about as hard, so, you know. During the fight, the power pack malfunctions. His wings are set on fire. Spider-Man rips off the burning pack, and Toombs crashes into a muddy ditch.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's great.
All right.
Oh.
So does... It's like a part of it wants to... No, it's like... Is this guy basically used over and over again as kind of just villain of the month, with the exception of like the relationship with Aunt May?
Pretty much. I mean, all Spider-Man villains are the villain of the month. They all have their tropes. They can all be cycled through.
You hear that, Marvel? Get out of that pattern.
Give us a villain of the year.
Give us a villain of the year.
They did that a while back with Spider-Man, but Morden sucked, so...
So we need a better villain of the year.
He's like a vampire who hunted down people who were connected to this spider totem thing. It was the same storyline that had Peter, like, literally die, become encased in a cocoon, come back out naked, and that was how they were able to work organic web shooters into the comics. Because, okay.
Couldn't be just a continued mutation.
Yeah, it could have just been a continued mutation, but no, we've got to do a big storyline called The Other. And...
curious.
Anyway.
See, and yeah. And so, I could see like them doing a really good year-long Kraven the Hunter thing.
Yeah.
Where the two don't even meet until like halfway through the year.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. So during Civil War, Vulture is one of the people captured by Captain America's rogue growing resistance. He's dropped off at S.H.I.E.L.D. And incidentally, he's in his cell watching TV when Spider-Man reveals himself, you know, to the public. A reporter says, gee, I hope this doesn't cause any problems for Spider-Man. And you see Toomes going, oh, I think it will. Because, you know, he's so menacing. Later he escapes and he attacks Spider-Man at a book signing. I don't know if it's Spider-Man's book signing or whatever, but it's at a book signing.
Okay.
My life as a teenage superhero.
Yeah. During the fight, Toomes falls unconscious. And because Peter's a good soul, he rushes him to the hospital.
Hey, I was just fighting this old man and he fell over. Did you,
Yeah.
My life is J. Jonah Jameson's
what happened?
Whipping
he
boy.
Fell. Toomes wakes up hours later and the doctor revealed to him that he suffered a stroke and many of the muscles on the left side of his body are now paralyzed because that's what happens.
Most of the time.
When the doctors leave, Spider-Man sneaks in and Toomes asks him to kill him because he is weak. When Spider-Man refuses to do so, he says that Spider-Man is weak and starts taunting him with remarks about Uncle Ben.
You know, if he just waited until it was Spider-Ock, then he totally would have gotten his wish.
Yeah. Pissing Peter off thoroughly, he grabs a pillow and begins to suffocate Toomes. And Toomes fights back.
You wanted this.
Exactly. He removes the pillow and comments, for someone who is begging to die, you're fighting back pretty hard.
That's the right thing to say in that. That's
it really is, yeah.
Yeah. He goes on to heal himself and causes more vulturistic shenanigans for Peter. Really, he really is just kind of the villain of the month. Like I said, there have been several other people to take up the mantle of Vulture. Blackie Drago, Clifton Shallott. A group of people who stole some of Toomes' inventions, including flying harnesses, calling themselves the Vulturons.
No.
They're teenagers, by the way.
Of course.
They're teenagers, by the way.
They're fancy the moves to stand on each other's shoulders. And
yeah.
Become one.
Not to be confused with the kind of crappy 80s cartoon, The Centurions.
Or Voltron.
Oh, yeah. It's as if Voltron and the Centurions had a baby and it was called the Vulturons. They all have bird-like powers.
All five of them yell, I'll form the head at the exact same time.
Do they travel in V formation?
Yes. Yes, they do. Yes,
I'll
they
be
do.
The ass.
As I've said, his flight harness and suit allows him to fly. It gives him enhanced strength so he can pretty much go blow for blow with Spider-Man despite being an octogenarian.
Yeah. He has eight arms too.
Yes, they're cleverly concealed beneath his skin tight green.
No, all the little feathers on his wings are tiny arms.
Wow, no wonder he doesn't like anybody to pull on them.
It must have hurt like hell when it was on fire.
Oh. What?
Oh, and the suit may or may not increase his lifespan because he's been around forever, but he's not.
I mean, Aunt May knows Methuselah personally, so who knows?
That's true. He's on speed
she
dial.
She was a stowaway on the Ark.
No, she was one of Noah's, you know, like granddaughters or something. Yeah. All right.
The sigh.
So, yeah, so that's that.
Interesting. Yeah, he's made other appearances in the Ultimate Marvel Universe, Earth X, Marvel 2099. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
Vaguely, yeah. He showed up in Old Man Logan, and he's been in Spider-Gwen in her universe. He's been in pretty much every incarnation of the Spider-Man cartoons. The 60s series, the animated series from the 90s, Ultimate Spider-Man, Spectacular Spider-Man. You know, on Spider-Man Unlimited, he looked really creepy. He kind of looked... I don't know. You just had... Seriously, look up Spider-Man Unlimited, Vulture. It's weird.
I enjoyed his look in Spectacular. I thought that it was nice. It was black and red.
That was... He looked more like a vulture. He was black and red, and, you know, that was cool. That was cool. Supposedly, during the initial development of Spider-Man 3, the Sam Raimi trilogy... Ben Kingsley was in negotiations to play the Vulture, but the producers convinced Sam to use Venom instead, and there was talk of John Malkovich playing him in a fourth Spider-Man film, but that, of course, was canceled, mercifully. And, of course, as I mentioned earlier, Michael Keaton will play him in the upcoming Spider-Man Homecoming.
Well, we're hearing some great things about Homecoming. We'll talk about that in the movie episode.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say I'm worn out with superhero movies, but I'm not as interested in it as I was, say, Wonder Woman.
Well,
maybe because I've already seen a crap ton of Spider-Man movies.
Yeah,
and well, we're up.
I mean, I sincerely hope that this one is good and does well. But I'm just like,
Well, it is the sixth one in like 15 years.
I'll see it eventually.
Right? Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not helping.
All right.
So that's it for the long box. Darren, you got anything else?
No, I have nothing of importance to add. Oh, wait, that's right. Well, I just don't want to forget to remind you of a couple of things. One, our Extra Life Marathon is coming up. It's going to be Labor Day weekend. We're going to be raising money for Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, and we've got some fantastic prizes, including, just got word from one of our sponsors, Shirtosaurus. There's sponsors alongside BuzzTime and GameStop, and Shirtosaurus is sending us a whole bunch of their custom t-shirts, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today, that we'll be giving away, in addition to an NES Classic and a whole bunch of other fantastic prizes, including some comics from Justin's personal stash. So, you know, that's going to be cool. And again, just wanted to thank our sponsors. That's BuzzTime, Shirtosaurus, and GameStop. That's all I got.
Yep. All right, Chad, you got anything else?
No, sir.
All right, well, that's it for the comic book segment. As Darren already thanked our sponsors, so I won't need to do that again, but they are BuzzTime, Shirtosaurus, and GameStop. that's it for comics. Download the movie and gaming segment. Not necessarily in that order.